Okay, as you just heard on the program, tsunami warnings now for Hawaii, sirens in Honolulu as we follow the magnitude of an 8.9 magnitude earthquake that struck off the coast of northeast Japan, sending a tsunami smashing into the northeast coast of Japan as well. I'm going to go right now to Barry in Osaka, Japan. He's on the wild card line. Barry, tell me what's going on there.
Hey, George, nice to speak to you again.
Thank you.
I wish it was just a bit more pleasant.
Well, I agree.
Mercifully, I'm far away from the epicenter, but I definitely felt the quake. It was a good shake, good 3-4 minutes it lasted.
You're in Osaka, so how close is that to the epicenter?
Oh, that's a good 300 miles away, but it felt all across the coastline.
And the aftershocks continue. Do you feel any of those, Barry?
Yes, I did. I started watching the news, and a few minutes later, I felt another aftershock.
Have you been able to look at the pictures of the tsunami and what is happening out there on the northeast coast of Japan?
Oh, yeah, I was watching them live. When this started, I first ignored it, thinking it was just another earthquake. But it went on, then I knew, okay, this is big. So I turned on the TV, and when there's an earthquake, usually of this size, the Japanese media gets a bit chaotic because they try to jump around and cover it all at once. And then they show the tsunamis a few minutes later, and my jaw just dropped to the floor just watching all everything get washed away.
This is one of the biggest devastations I've ever witnessed in my life for anything.
Oh, yeah. I just couldn't believe it.
A lot of fires are breaking out, gas pumps, everything.
I saw a few, one in Tokyo, in one of the major buildings near a TV station and a lot of houses. But, yeah, right now in the north, it's just a lot of chaos when this is going down.
All right, Barry, feel free to call us at any time tonight if you can get through. Lots of phone lines already are in trouble. I tried to call some friends who are in Hawaii right now, and their phone lines are not working. They say that this earthquake is the seventh largest in the history of the planet, recorded history of the planet. The one that hit in Indonesia several years ago, causing hundreds of thousands of deaths, was a 9.1 to a 9.3 magnitude quake as well. We've got a pilot who has just sent us a fast blast, and they said they've been allowed to re-enter a hotel in a portion of Japan after the quake. They are still experiencing aftershocks while he still types that fast blast message to us. That's from Bob, who is out there. He's an airline crew member in Japan. Again, we are monitoring the situation on what could happen on the western part of the United States as well. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. We are blessed on this program to have a number of guests who have specific expertise in specific areas. One of those, Mitch Batras, heads up Earth Changes Media, as he looks at events that affect us with climate change, earth events. And this is one of those nights. Let's bring in Mitch right now. He's kind enough to join us on Mitch. What is truly one of the most devastating videos I continue to see, this tsunami hitting the northeastern part of Japan. It's absolutely unbelievable.
Yes, it is certainly something. And it's not a huge surprise to me. You never know how things are going to unfold. As you know, George, I monitor the Sun-Earth connection, so I'm really tied into solar events and how it has its really immediate effect on Earth. My belief is that this quake occurred not due to the X.1 that occurred earlier today.
Right.
That's still yet to come. What I believe this event is related to is the 10 M-class flares that occurred over the previous last 48 hours. There were two groups of four and then two more M-class flares coming from sunspots 1166 and 1163 in particular. Now, these are just now starting to rotate around the sun. However, some that are following behind it are now also showing gamma activity, beta gamma activity, which means that they're active and can very well produce X-class flares. So we're now just rolling into it. The lumbering state that we've been in for so long is over. Cycle 24 is saying hello. And it's going to continue. I've already made a prediction. Actually, I made the prediction yesterday, George, and I rarely make predictions. In my newsletter that I sent out, I said that 10 M-class flares have occurred within the last 48 hours, and that my suspicion is, my suggestion to you is that an X-class flare is likely within the last within the next 14 days.
What about
idea it was going to come this soon.
What about the full moon that's coming up in a week, Mitch?
It all plays. It all has a place. There are two different mechanisms that cause that. The sun certainly has a direct causal effect with earthquakes and volcanoes, but that's more related to charged particles, these massive waves of a plasma, if you will, these solar storms. That is the cause, which has a direct effect, causal effect, with the Earth's core. So this one, you could say, is coming from the inside out. It's coming from the Earth's core forward towards the surface, shifting the tectonic plates. That's what the sun does. What the tides do related to the moon is related to gravity. What that is a shifting of water, mass water. And so these tide surges come towards our shores and also puts weight on the tectonic plates. So it's kind of a double whammy that we're experiencing here, and I do expect more large earthquake events. Now, also, in addition to just the earthquakes, and in this case a tsunami, watch out for volcanoes. Now, but it's not just the Ring of Fire, George. It's also inland. For example, like in the southeast United States southeast yesterday, some of the key words you want to listen to are things like microburst or straight line winds. And those were the words used yesterday to explain what was happening in the United States southeast. These tremendous storms had come through. No one really knew where they came from or how it happened. Some tornadoes were spun off, but the damaging ones were the straight-line winds. Now, that was in perfect timing and alignment with my 48 to 72-hour window from the time of those 10 M-class flares. And now we're looking here at the what's happening in Japan.
I'm beginning to think, as I look at the video on this, Mitch, that the flood that affected Noah a long time ago, could that have been a huge tsunami? Could we have, you know, either been hit by an asteroid or had a major earthquake? He probably knew about it. Maybe, you know, divine providence gave him the information as the Bible stipulated. Could that have been a tsunami that caused that kind of flooding?
Well, certainly it could have been a tsunami that caused that kind of flooding. We don't have the full story in the Bible. So we really don't know if it was geographical or if it was world. Most people who read it believe that the world was covered in water. If that's the case, no, it was not a tsunami.
Right.
It would have to be something like an asteroid hitting the Earth. But certainly in that geographical area, it would have felt like every place they could see was water. So I definitely was water, definitely caused by something like a tsunami, most likely earthquakes, then therefore causing a triggering effect for a tsunami. What we don't know in that particular picture of the Bible was the whole world covered. And I think that's the impression I got. So if that is the case, no, it wasn't.
Mitch, I've got to tell you this. I'm gonna stick my neck out on this. I've been saying for the last several years that I think the Mayan calendar end date, December 21st, 2012, had something to do with a solar event. ironically enough, look what's happening with that, with the earthquake, with the volcanoes that you've just pointed out. I am absolutely convinced now that this date, the Mayan calendar date, is the period that we're in right now leading up to that December 21st, 2012 date. I think they knew something. What do you think?
Oh, I think I absolutely think so. And I have several high credentialed scientists who are now also saying so. It's kind of a reverse engineering going on here. In other words, current science, and it couldn't have happened any earlier because of our technology that we have, the new spacecraft that we have up in the skies, the WISE mission, the Planck spacecraft. And what those two are doing are looking beyond just our solar system and looking into the galaxy. What's coming back is we are learning, as if many of us, I mean, it just intuitively makes sense, that the galaxy, our Milky Way, has cyclical events, measurable, repeatable cyclical events, just like the sun does. Hence the sun-earth connection, which my books have been on. Well, it's that very same template that is now fitting the galaxy, the Milky Way, and the sun. So what's happening now is the Mayan elders, in particular, the Hopis, but I could name off 100 other ancient texts that say the same thing. It just so happens, George, that we are living in that time of a well-predicted millennia prediction happens to be landing in our lap. And we're seeing that unfolding right now.
We sure have. Mitch, while you're with me, let's take some calls. People have been on the line. They either have stories or they're reacting to what they have seen. Tim is in Cleveland, Ohio. Go ahead, Tim. You're on with us.
Hey, George.
Hi.
I'm up here on Lake Erie in Cleveland, Ohio.
Sure. Been there many times.
Around 9 p.m. California time, I called the Associated Press, and they hung up on me when I let them know we were having odd seismic activity in Lake Erie.
Really? Now tell me, what were you feeling?
Well, I have a little machine that reports, you know, when we can feel like a little earth movement, because a lot of time when there's major earthquakes, we get a little bit of movement in Lake Erie.
That's amazing. You felt this all the way there.
Right. This was like an 8.9 earthquake.
Yes.
Huge.
Absolutely. Mitch, can you believe that? All the way from Japan to Lake Erie, he's feeling that?
You know, I
thank you, Tim.
It's so early into this, George. I kind of keep a firm foot on science. I have not been receiving messages on that, but it's certainly plausible. I think of the New Madrid Fault, that it was a 9.1 that was felt, beyond our coastlines, especially going up northward towards the northeast. So, yes, it certainly does travel great distances, and when you hit water, when water's involved, it carries that even further.
Is there any danger, Mitch, of parts of the planet cracking so much? They cracked during the Indonesian quake. Cracking so much that something devastating could happen to the entire planet? That the way it revolves, whatever happens, is it possible?
I think I know where you're going with this, George, such as the Edward Cayce map, and many people have these maps.
Just so earth-changing, just something huge.
Yeah, for the audience, what George is talking about is about a 30 to 40% loss of mass of the world. I don't see it, George. These are devastating events. It's certainly going to have an effect on each geographical area. And I'll even go further and say, yes, it's very possible that it could have some triggering effects. I don't see any. I'm keeping an open mind, but at this point, I don't see where there would be that type of domino scenario where we would lose a third of the world's land mass.
The damage in Japan, the northeast side of Japan, is going to go into the billions of dollars.
These
people are going to be homeless. We've had countless thousands of people homeless in New Zealand from the earthquake they just had.
Yeah.
This is just unbelievable.
It's as big as it gets. Well, I always leave room for something worse, I hate to say. But, I mean, when you have aftershocks that are in the high sixes, which is what I'm looking at now. I mean, here's one aftershock that's a 7.1. Oh, and by the way, this is a great example to explain a foreshock. And that's what happened. You know, we had, was it yesterday or day before? Yesterday, I think it was, Japan had a 7.1. That would be considered a force shock. So what typically would be the large one and then smaller aftershocks come after. In this case, that was a force shock. Only to, and it did its ebb and flow of a pretty high number of aftershocks. I mean, they were in the sixes and fives, and then the larger one, being of course this 8.9, came later. That happens from time to time, not too often, but it does. And this was one of those.
With everything happening on this planet right now, Mitch, disruption in the Middle East, all these things. I bet tomorrow morning the stock market is going to plummet.
Well, I don't know how that's going to play out, but I'm glad you brought up the Middle East. We didn't get to touch on that the last time I was speaking to you. And that is another sign, another element of what the Mayans have been talking about, this process of transition. I mean, where did this Middle East type thing come from? How did it start, and how could it go so fast? And I would have never envisioned something as rapid as what's happening now. So there is a big change that's going on, both external and internal, and I don't see it going away.
Let me ask you a quick question too. Sure. You know, as I watch the waters just devastate parts of Japan here, a lot of it farmland as well. When the water finally recedes or sinks down, what's left with that topsoil? Is that all gone?
Well, it certainly has shifted. It's displaced. There's no doubt about it. It has been displaced. And will it play a high price on commodities and food? The answer is yes. So, yes, I mean, if one thing, certainly if, next, the other, the butterfly, the flapping of a butterfly in this case, Japan, would it have an effect in Argentina? The answer is yes. So there are many, many things are going to be kind of falling out of. Just on more of a microcosm, what's happening in Wisconsin, it's not just the Middle East. It's come here to our own country. And what that represents to me is this purging, as the Mayans call it. It's a purging of intuition, of intelligence. It's about a person coming into the truth. The way the Mayans explain it is that the truth is going to come forward, whether you like it or not. It's going to be how people handle that truth. How can you facilitate the change? Those that are really holding on tight to the way things are and are very fearful of change, they're going to have a very difficult time. Others who are more close to who they are and have that sense of self will have an easier time floating with these rapid changes. Now, I'm talking more of perhaps esoterical, but really it's scientific. I'm really talking more quantum physics. And those that understand acupuncture, for example, will have the best understanding of what I'm talking about. In other words, briefly, the very same charged particles that are causing all this mess with Earth, directly related to the sun and even beyond other celestial orbs, what you're seeing happening to the Earth is a similar reaction that's happening within each of us. All humans, all living things have a magnetic field as well. Well, we know what happens to the magnetic field when these charged particles hit it. It warps, it changes, it has no choice.
Well, that, you know what, Mitch, that's why people are getting whacked out. You're absolutely right. Mitch Batras, we're going to keep tapping into you as this event unfolds over the next few days, Mitch. Thank you so much. Up next, Stan Deo joins us with his thoughts on this earthquake. And welcome back to Coast. The United Nations prepared to send in 30 international search and rescue teams. They are on alert to help the folks in Japan from this devastating 8.9 magnitude earthquake that hit off the northeastern coast of Japan, creating a massive tsunami that has just eaten up part of the country. And it is amazing with technology how quickly we get information, see pictures. For example, the world's largest website, drudgereport.com, is reporting this incredible story as well. as most other media now, picking up on this story that we've been following throughout the night. Up next, we'll continue to take your phone calls. Stan Deo will join us. He's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Robert Carpenter from Kansas has a friend, Brian, in Japan. He says that he and his friends are praying for Brian. Said he wishes he would post something on Facebook talking about media and how quickly we can get information. He has not posted anything yet. We're worried. Let's go to Stan Deo. Let's talk a little bit about preparedness because this could happen here. Stan, this has got to be for you just something unbelievable to watch as well.
Well, it's rather unusual. It's happening quicker than I thought, but you remember, I guess it was about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was on the show talking about we found fluctuations in the gravitational field of the Earth, and we've been getting people to volunteer all over the world, in fact, in 17 countries, to do a simple test with a battery and some wire and stuff for us, and the results we're getting are showing wild fluctuations in the gravitational field, not such that you would notice it, but this is what we call a containment gravitational field. It's a weaker field than the main gravitational field. And I think what I'm going to address here will explain why these quakes and volcanoes are going to start appearing all over the place now. When we did the show with you a few weeks back, I was mentioning how the Earth had expanded at catastrophic points in time.
Right,
in the past.
Right.
Okay, you were wondering about how if a tsunami might have caused the flooding of the of Noah's and Gilgamesh and all that, you know. It was a long-duration thing, nearly 100 days or longer of flooding. The rain stopped after 40 days and nights. And then if you look into the Hebrew records of it, the actual Hebrew, you'll see that the waters of the fountains of the deep, they call them, but they came up as hot water, boiling water, and they continued, you know, 100 days or so and filled the oceans with water from down underneath the surface of the Earth. And that was because the Earth was expanding at that time. Why is something else we can discuss later, but the Earth was expanding suddenly, and it was pushing a shell of water that's down about between 5 and 15 miles under the surface of the Earth. It was pushing it like hypodermic syringes through weak spots in the crust of the Earth as it expanded. Now, if you look, Holly just put up a thing on our standeo.com webpage.
And in minutes, we'll have some information that you sent us up on the Coast to Coast.
Good. AM. All right. Well, I've got it right up there. It says Coast to Coast, where we're talking now. And there's a link right next to Coast to Coast AM, you know, with the date and time.
Sure.
Today.
Lex is working away at this.
Okay. Now, okay, while he's doing that, go to the show images folder, and you'll see the earthquakes I'm talking about. And the expansion, this is what we used during the show that we did with you. And you'll see that I was concerned with earthquake patterns in Chile being tremendous along that
That's stretch. Right. That's right. I remember you saying that.
And then all along the Pacific Arc, or they call it the Ring of Fire, but it's really an arc of fire. And what we have to worry about in this country is two things. The Juan de Fuca plate has been showing signs of stress release in along a horizontal plate fracture that goes right in between Oregon and Washington. If that 8.9 over in Japan shockwave comes across and triggers the Juan de Fuca plate, it has an equally large stress buildup around a Richter 9. And this is not me. This is just saying this. This is USGS.
Yes, that's right. It would take out Seattle.
Well, yeah, and keep going right on inland and up into the channels. And the other thing is, if that release is there at Juan de Fuca, we're already seeing magma movements in Yellowstone on the northwestern corner of the park.
Well, I was going to ask you about Yellowstone. As you know, Stan, if Yellowstone, if that caldera ever erupts, and it erupts every 640,000 years, and it is overdue right now,
right,
it could be the most devastating volcano eruption we've ever had.
Not only that, I think it'll have a lot of earthquake attending it, because if you look at the photos of the day folder that Holly's got up there, and if you go down almost all the way to the bottom, almost, you'll see three earthquake pictures, and you'll see Australia right in the middle of it. But look to the right, and you'll see a picture of the United States, and you click on that map, it shows you earthquakes from first of January this year in the United States, and you'll see it outlines an area going right up through Yellowstone Park and then right on down in the Rockies and then over into the Sierras. And I wouldn't want to live anywhere in California, Oregon, or Washington right now. Montana, Wyoming, Utah, forget it.
I'm in L.A., I'm in St. Louis, I'm on the New Madrid Fault, I'm on the San Andreas Fault. I can't get away.
You must have made somebody real mad, George.
Well, you never know. But I'm here as a witness, Stan. And speaking of that, you are a very spiritual person. You're a believer in divine providence. I have to ask you this. There's a group out there that says May 21st of this year, it's Judgment Day. Many will be taken. Many will be left behind. It's all over. It's the beginning of the end for the planet. A fellow by the name of Chris McCann, who represents them, said on this program, he said, George, when I asked him, how will it begin, Chris? How will we know? He said, it will be a devastating earthquake. It will change the planet. And I kind of went, oh, my gosh, could this be the one? Now, he claimed it would be on May 21st. Who knows?
Well, now, you did mention earlier in the show about the Russian prediction that we would have a devastating quake in the United States.
Within 14 days.
Yeah, within 14 days. I don't know about the Mr. McCann's prophecy of it.
Well, but is this an earth-changing earthquake, what's happened in Japan right now?
Certainly earth-changing for the people over on that side, but what's causing it is the expansion of the planet, and this is going to make more sinkholes, it's more collapses of dirt and long trenches. The plate tectonic borders are going to redefine.
Look, if they could pick up some of this in the Lake Erie, which is one of our callers just a few moments ago, said he felt it. He called the USGS, and they hung up on him.
You're joking.
He said, George, I picked up little readings. He actually felt it in Lake Erie. So, my gosh, what does that tell you? As a guy who has studied maps, studied earthquakes, looked at volcanoes, if he could feel that near Lake Erie, what does that mean?
Well, I really do think that New Madrid Fault is under stress, and of course Lake Erie is up above that, but I think that both New Madrid and Yellowstone and the Juan de Fuca Plate, all three are exhibiting signs of imminent action. The Juan de Fuca Plate the New Madrid Plate, that fracture, that New Madrid fracture is not going to go like it did before all the way down the Mississippi River and into the Gulf solely. It's going to branch off to the west in what they call the Guy fracture, the GUY fracture, because it's close to the town of Guy. And already we have seen tremendous number of earthquakes, even though they're small, right at the point where the Guy fracture joins in with the New Madrid fracture. So Oklahoma and Arkansas will join in the fun if New Madrid does go fairly soon. And I look at that as that whole New Madrid fault going up to the lakes, Great Lakes, as a weak zone in the middle of the United States that could fracture and split so that the Great Lakes empty straight into the Gulf before it's finished. Might be a series of quakes.
Okay.
That does look like it's possible.
Let's take a few calls here, Stan, while I've got you.
All right.
Courtney, we go driving around in Kentucky, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Courtney.
Hi, how are y'all?
Good. How are you?
Good. I actually live right on the New Madrid Fault. I was so excited when I got on the line and y'all started talking about it.
Let's hope you never have to call us back about the New Madrid Fault.
Well, you know, living here so close to it, I live about 2 hours north of that Nashville. I live about 30 minutes from the Tennessee state line. I work in Tennessee. And we have small earthquakes all the time, just little bitty tremors, you know, and we all know that it's coming. But one thing we're concerned with as a community on the New Madrid Fault, and it's, you know, in the tri-state area, our preparedness response for a major earthquake. I mean, it's been drilled into our heads that the last time the New Madrid had a major earthquake, it rang church bells as far away as Philadelphia.
It made the Mississippi run the other way.
It formed Real Foot Lake. The Mississippi ran backwards. It eradicated the shoreline of Hickman, Kentucky, right on the Mississippi River. It was once a major bustling river port, and it changed the shape of this part of the world. And with the government's handling of Katrina, it was just undoubtedly poor. We have issues and concerns with the way, if we have a natural disaster, how it's going to be handled. And not just from a humanitarian standpoint, but from an economic standpoint. We're an agrarian community, and I mean, we grow a large part of the nation's corn, wheat, soybeans. And I don't think it's often publicized enough how devastating a major quake on the
nation. You are so right, Courtney. And Stan, you know about FEMA. You know about preparedness. Are we ready in this country if something devastating happens?
Well, as a government, I think the government has certainly made preparations as far as it can go, but the government cannot be expected to be first responders to all people immediately in a major quake like this or a major volcanic eruption. What was his name? James Witt, when he was the head of FEMA, did say publicly that they could not respond to the majority of people in the event of a mega disaster. They couldn't get people in and supplies in quick enough and large enough quantity to help. So that he encouraged people, like this lady is saying, get your local community together and start preparing, which school building or church you use for backup hospitals, and what food and emergency preparations and medicines do you have, and how do you take care of the people that do die, as far as keeping their bodies where they're not contaminating everybody else. There's just going to be tremendous need for preparation. And so we support, Holly and I both, and she wrote the book on preparedness. So we support local and family and business preparation for these kind of disasters, because they are going to become more common very rapidly. In fact, even more rapidly than I thought possible. They're starting to move.
By the way, let me mention that Hawaii is now evacuating low-lying areas.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. I forget how many hours it takes because we don't know the velocity of the wave. But if you look at the trench, the Japan Trench, which is just offshore of where this earthquake occurred, the major earthquake, the 8.9, it has such an unusual shape to it that it is probably why they had an onrush of quick tsunamis, bang, 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 like that, because it was so close to where the coastline of Japan is that it rolled into that trench and reflected back out and just made rolling tsunamis, which Lord only knows how many people that took out. But it's just an unfortunate location. I think we're going to see a lot of devastation there.
Your pictures from Google Earth of Japan are now linked on our Twitter feed at coasttocoastam.com.
Good.
So we've got them there.
I didn't have time to get fresh pictures of the Chilean quakes. But they are there on the images that I have there on the show images. The thing that has worried me is Easter Island had some quakes, and a spot of probably 600 miles north had quakes. All of these seem to be linked into the thousands of quakes that Chile has had since the last 18 months. And it looks as though the boundaries of the plate fractures in the Pacific plate there are fixing to break a new chunk off, a big chunk. And Chile is on the eastern side of that chunk, even though it's on the western side of South America, but Chile is on the eastern side of that chunk where it's going to fracture. Same situation we're looking at on our own images, the earthquake that I've got up on the website.
A professor from Berkeley says that he thinks the part of the West Coast could get hit a little bit from this in the crosshairs. Specifically, he's concerned about Oregon, Stan. Would you too?
Yes. I'm just looking at, I'll tell you this, Google Earth is really a handy tool. And if you look at it, yes, there's a fold right across the North Pacific sea basin there, which could direct the wave more toward Oregon and lower the southern side of Washington State. That's the Juan de Fuca plate. And if it happens to annoy that plate enough that it goes ahead and releases that Richter 9 earthquake that's building up there, then we might see some real damage.
Let's go to Catherine in Brownsville, Pennsylvania. We'll get you in here, Catherine. Go ahead.
Oh, thanks. Hi, good morning, gentlemen.
Hi, good morning.
Boy, it's really sad what's happening over in Japan. anybody in Japan that's listening, the world is praying with you. I wanted to say quickly, if Chris McCann really thinks that the Earth is going to end, then he can prove it by signing over all his property to me.
Well, that organization sent me a donation form today to make monthly payments.
Yeah, they're hedging their bets, I guess. The reason I called is to kind of, I also wanted to caution people against having kind of an I told you so prophecy glee about the earthquake. I, you know, kind of heard that in some people. You know, you got to remember this is happening to real people. And, you know, I kind of worry when people assign any kind of, you know, religious importance or, you know, religious meaning to these events, you know, especially when we have a lot of politicians.
You know what, Catherine, I agree with you, but they actually believe this. They believe that these events are indeed earth ending. And, that's what they believe. I mean, I've never been one to throw stones at somebody's belief system. I don't particularly agree with everybody, but it's their feeling. It's their view.
I agree. And thank you, Mr. Dale, for reminding us all that the earth does go through this regular expansion, you know, periodic growing pains. You know, even though we have HARP and stuff that, you know, maybe assisting things artificially, but, you know, this is, natural occurrences.
Tsunami watch issued for Oregon and Washington now. That's a watch now, not nearly as bad as a warning. A warning means they expect something. It's the same with tornadoes in the Midwest. If they say there's a tornado watch, that means conditions are favorable for tornadoes. But if they say there's a tornado warning, that means one's been sighted. So when they say there's a tsunami warning, they mean they expect that in this particular case in Oregon and Washington, not the panic yet. They say it's a watch, which means, you know what, don't go to bed yet. Or if you do, keep one eye open and get ready to move for sure. Stan, I guess tomorrow we'll see a little bit more of this devastation in Japan, won't we?
Well, yeah, I'm sure we will. But I've just been noticing here in the Google Earth as we've been talking, there have been a number of small quakes occurring on the Big Island of Hawaii, and they're still occurring now. And it's on a long island chain that curves all the way up into the tip of the Aleutians, up to Kamchatka, which is just north of Japan, where the big earthquake just occurred. The islands of Hawaii were formed by the crust of the Earth expanding and moving over a hot plume coming from the core of the planet that rises up and, you know, lets hot magma up to form the island.
Is Hawaii vulnerable for this?
For tsunami or for...
For everything. Quakes, volcanoes. They've had a volcano there that hasn't stopped since the 80s.
Well, look, it's a continuing process. You can see the chain of islands. It spreads there's a lot of them underwater, but from Hawaii all the way up to the northwest and then up to the Aleutian. Up to Kamchatka, where it ties in.
Well, for more information, you can go to Stan Dale's website, standale.com. There's a link at coasttocoastam.com and our Twitter feed as well. Take a moment, say a little prayer for this entire planet, not just Japan. We're going to need it. We'll be back with more with our ongoing special coverage of this 8.9 magnitude earthquake that struck off the northeastern coast of Japan, the seventh strongest earthquake to hit ever. We'll be back.